So you're out of this. We're not completely through with all this. So you go to school. Where are you going to school when you come back?
Well, I ended up going to like an alternative school, but not going because I, you know, got into hard drugs. And then my mom and her husband at the time, they found a treatment program down in Florida that I was able to get into. And actually, that was a really positive time in my life. I, you know, a lot of healing, and I was able to get counseling and took place at this program. But unfortunately, you know, my mom and that situation with that husband, it was really bad. So when I got out of that, it was like a 4-month program. We ended up coming back up to Spokane, and I just, you know, was able to get back into school, but, still just, you know, had that void, had that looking for love in all the wrong places, you know, mentality. So dated a lot of boys, but still was able to, you know, stay in school and get stuff done there, and graduate by some miracle, miracle of God. And so, but shortly after the graduation, I fell right back into that life, and I had my son. I had a son at that point, and by the grace of God, again, my mom was able to take care of him while I figured stuff out and hit my bottom, really, you know, and ended up with the clothes on my back and just crying out to God, who I, at that point, knew in a sense, because, you know, my grandma would take me to church services like this growing up, and so I know I had seeds planted in my heart in that way, but still searching. And so when I cried out to God, I remember where I was and everything, and just a couple, shortly after that, I ended up in jail and picked up the Bible, and God just showed up. Jesus showed up in a huge way in my life and showed me very much so how real he was and gave my heart to him at that point. So, yeah.
Okay, so you get out of jail, and you're still having a hard time finding Christian people that want to hang out with somebody coming out of jail a little bit, right?
Yeah. So I still, you know, I knew I was changed and I loved Jesus and I wanted to, you know, go to church and couldn't really find anyone to go to church with me. And so I still just, you know, if you're the people you're around, you're going to do what they do. And so I still kind of had one foot in, but in my heart, I'm like, I want to go to church. And so God and his awesomeness, you know, introduced me to my husband. I think that had a really big, big part to do with, you know, just my sanctification and journey. And so when I met him, you know, his daughters went to Christian school. So I'm like, oh, a Christian. So found someone to go to church with. That was good. So we started going to church together consistently, and God just changed our hearts and our lives. And
so what's different about this guy beside being just a Christian?
Oh.
Come on, girl. He's here. I got to put a good word in for him.
No, I did. Because at that point, like I had shared, you know, I had been with a lot of different men. And he took me on my first real date. Like, he got me a gift. And he actually didn't try to, you know, whatever. I don't want to go there. Anyway, so, yeah, it took me on a real date, and I just like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like. And so, and then, of course, his heart to want to, you know, serve God too and do it together, that was definitely a lot different than what I had experienced in my life at that point. So,
okay, so we get that part of your life figured out, but I want you to talk just a little bit about the gal that gave you the book that kind of turned your thinking of what you'd been in and come out.
So at that point, God had set me free from drugs and this life of promiscuity and just a lot of things. But I still had a lot of shame and, you know, from what I did, right? So from that life so long ago, I always just shared my story and my testimony as, you know, God set me free from drugs and it was great, but I never shared, and I was always like, oh, ran away with this older guy, and I was, you know, a rebellious teenager, and it was always like shame, my fault, And so I never really shared. There was only a few people that really knew anything about that time in my life, and including my husband and stuff. And so when I was talking to my friend about it, a dear friend of mine, not even really the details of it, but she kind of saw through that. And she's like, I have a book I want you to read. So she sent me a book, and I finally picked it up. And it was around the same time that God was, like, just speaking to my heart about, because I've been serving him for, you know, good 10 years at this point. And he started speaking to my heart about sharing my story, and didn't realize it was that part of my story he wanted me to share until I read this book, and I was literally reading my story. Same thing happened. 13-year-old girl, targeted by this man, you know, sold in the sex industry. And in the back of the book, it talked about a lot of statistics and how it happens to 200, 300,000 young ladies in the United States alone. This happens to. And so that was a part of my story I was supposed to share. So I'm like, okay, God, where do I share it? And I got in his providence again at the same time, you know, led me to this concert where Caleb got up and spoke about the ministry towards the end of the concert and gave a message. And at the very end, talked about the safe house that they were opening up for women coming out of sex trafficking. And like, oh, it was like bright lights. I'm like, that's who I need to talk to. So sure enough, I went and introduced myself to Caleb, and he gave me Randy's number. And I fought it a little bit. I, you know, went back and forth a couple of days. I'm like, I don't want to call. And so I finally called him, and he was so gracious and invited me over to talk with he and Shelly. And that was the first time I really just put it all out there and shared my whole story with someone. So, yeah. And
okay.
Then this.
But before this, I want you to tell them a little bit about the two things you've been involved as far as getting the boutique and your put a little plug in for your garden.
So since I was introduced to HRC and the awesome work that we're doing through HRC, it's been a ride, like a lot of healing in my heart every time I share. Thank you guys for letting me share. It's more healing. And I learned that I was, you know, a victim, right? It wasn't like all my fault. So just a lot of healing in that. And I've been able to help a lot of other, you know, just in the mentorship program is what I'm really excited about. So through all that, I'm just anxious to get this program off the ground. And God has just given me this kind of visionary, creative side of me that likes to start businesses. And so we opened up a thrift store out in the valley. It's actually like a boutique. It's a really like nicer high-end thrift store out in the valley to raise money for the anti-trafficking ministry. But even better, it's going to be a place for, you know, the ladies come do job training and refurbish furniture and really great opportunities there, I think, for the program itself. And that's doing really well. And then we were able to hire a manager in there and kind of allowed me time to work on this other concept that I've been mulling over for a few years about a cafe. And God just put on my heart that I would be a bigger part of helping HRC raise the money for this program. So with the cafe, I'm as a social purpose corporation. It's going really well. It's called The Garden. It's out in the Spokane Valley, but we're donating a portion of our food sales directly to this ministry. And it's going to be another great place for these ladies to come and do some job training and just different areas of, you know, working on their growing their gifts and things like that. And so, yeah, it's been a ride, but we've been open 6 months at the cafe and almost 2 years at the boutique, or a year and a half. So, yeah, it's going great, and God's really using this business kind of side to, you know, help the ministry in a lot of ways. So,
okay, so that's kind of the full story from the streets to turning around and giving back and wanting to be a part of our ministry and giving out to the girls. I want to share something with you. Sometimes people wonder, say, Randy, you bring somebody out here to share. And it's not the easiest thing to do, and you get up here, and a lot of times she's in tears or she's partway there, and I'll stop and share something. But let me share this with you because I think it's so important for you to know this. in Revelations, it talks about this. It says this, and they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies, and they didn't care about their life to the end. Folks, it's very important that you share your testimony, because that is why she shares her testimony, because her testimony is the ammo that keeps the enemy at bay. You know, and David had a testimony, and he said, guess what, Saul? This is what God has helped me do. And when she comes and shares and says, this is what God walked me through, this is what God has helped me to do, and this is the enemy that the God has overcome, Satan, in my life. So this is why I do what I do. So for some of you, I want to challenge you today. Don't hide your story. Don't share it, because you need to share it with people, because it's the ammo that you use to say, Satan, no more. We have taken victory over you. So thanks, CJ. Okay, girl. Good job.
Share a little more.
Yeah, I've got a little bit more. If you want to ask me some questions,
you share a little more. Ask some questions.
Okay.
I want to share just a little bit with you about the ministry. And then he's going to ask me a few questions, kind of where you guys are coming from. And that'll be great. But, you know, my son shared that we started a ministry up here in Mead. And that's where we had our first home. And guess what? We found out, it didn't take us long to figure out, we were over our heads. You know, I had a heart to do this. I've worked at the mission for 30 years and got involved. But now all of a sudden we've got, and I've been around women and worked with women through the mission. But this is a whole different level because of what they've been through. And so we decided we need to do something to make more of an effect and an impact on the girls that are coming through. So through that course of time, we look around to see what other organizations are doing. And we found a place over on the coast around Linden, Washington, called Engedi. And they have, in my estimation, they have one of the most effective programs in the whole country. And they see about over 90% of the girls that go through the whole two-year program not return to their way of life. And so we're going, man, we've got to get something like this going over here besides just rescuing girls and getting them in a home for a while. So they landed up saying, you know what? We really want to work with you guys because we're kind of the only person doing this. And one of the mistakes a lot of times people do when they're working with clients or people like this is they rescue them out, but then they try to work with them in their own city, in their own vicinity. And that's really not a good thing because there's too many triggers, there's too many buttons, there's too many old friends. So they said, you know, we really want to work with you because we turn away 60 gals a year. We don't have room to even work with everybody. So they've come over and graciously been putting a program together. They've been putting together things with us. And we've been working together. We literally have a good chunk of our staff in place. You saw what we're trying to raise money for is to get our staff going, which we're hoping to do by this spring or summer. That's what you're going to be giving to today. But also, we need to do it right. You want to do it well because these gals especially need extra special trauma counseling, even more so than a lot of girls do. And we want to hire some professional help to be able to help them through this so they don't necessarily go back and get involved in that same setting. And that's the hardest thing. The average person that's comes through 5 years of drug and alcohol treatment, 15% will go back after 5 years of being clean and sober. So we want to be able to do a program that's even more effective to help people. And I think one of the things that's different about our program, just in a nutshell, I can't go through all the details of the program with you because I'd be up here a while. But the thing we really want to do more than anything else is get them plugged in with healthy people. So when they literally come into the program, the computers, the cell phones, all that stuff go bye-bye for a while, and then the counselor starts working after 6 months of therapy and other things, starts working at getting them hooked up with healthy people. Because unless you change the cycle of who people hang out with, most generally they go back and get involved with the same old people. So in a nutshell, that's a little bit about what the program's about. So what I really want to challenge you with in the next few minutes is this. It's a story that's as common as everything. You've all heard it 100 times, but it's probably where we're at. And that's the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know, I'm not going to read it because most of you know it, but I want to share a couple of highlights from it that I think are so important. You know, the difference between the Levite, the priest, and the Good Samaritan was the fact that when the Good Samaritan looked, he was moved with passion. There was something different. It wasn't that the others didn't go and look and maybe even went to town and said, I saw this person. But when he looked, he saw something totally different. And I want to come out today and challenge you not just to look, not to even just walk across the street and see someone. But I want to challenge you for this, because you know what? There was a lawyer that tempted the Lord and said, who is my neighbor? And he gave this story. And you know what? Your neighbor is the one that's laying by the wayside. It's not just your neighbor that you live across the road from. In Jesus' point of view, your neighbor is the person that needs to literally physically be picked up, carried, and taken to an end. And can I put it in my vernacular? Taken to a treatment center, a Christian treatment center, where they can get help. And you know what he did that's different than anybody else? He just didn't say, well, I got you here. See you later. No, he gave the closest thing to his heart. You know what the closest thing to your heart is? Your wallet. And when your pastor talks about finances, don't get too upset with him, because I'll tell you what. Finances are mentioned over 1,000 times in the Bible. Everything else, faith, prayer, 300 times maybe at most. But it's interesting God would talk about finances, because guess what? It's the closest thing to our heart. And you know what he did? That was so cool. He says, you know what? If you need more, guess what? I'll come back and I'll pay you more. I know this. When God moves you to reach out to your neighbor that's hurting, you will become a different person. And someone won't have to come to you and say, give more. You'll go, how much do you need for me to give so this person can get healthy? That's my rendition of the Good Samaritan, because he comes from a whole different place. And that's how I got involved, honestly. I worked at a Union Gospel Mission for a lot of years. And one day, a pastor calls me up, believe it or not, from up here around Elk. He says, I got a girl that you know will come in one day and talk to you, but she's not ready right now. And I said, oh, really? Whenever it happens, it happens. Long story short, she was a neighbor that played with our kids. She'd been in human trafficking. And her folks homeschooled her. Had the look of Christian, Christian, Christian. Not only was she homeschooled, but her folks were into witchcraft, and she had a very messed up life. And today she's doing okay. She's in Arizona. She's working with her son. But boy, I watched her travel through Medical Lake. I've seen her go through everything. And you know what happened? That kind of got a hold of me. And guess what? There was another one. And then there's another one. And I'm not looking for them, but they're just coming. And you can't leave them on the street. God will move on you to do something. So that's where I am. And then when you get through today, I have some things out in the foyer for if you want to look and see a little bit about our ministry. I got some little pieces of paper. If you're some of you are readers and want to see how people like CJ get taken in, what they do, how they gear them and prime them and everything like that. I got some books you can read. But I'm going to call your pastor up here right now. He's sitting here just waiting. I got a couple questions for this rascal, he's saying. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go ahead and ask me a couple questions.
So let's say you get somebody from the west side that comes over. Because you're trading people, right?
Right, yeah.
So women in Spokane who are being trafficked, they'll go someplace else to get them out of there.
Okay, now, out on my foyer list, too, I got a little card. It's a hotline card. I actually do go and talk to people. I go pick up people. And so we'll try and place them in a safe position. If they're from out of town and this is not their town, we'd probably get them in our, we could probably get them in our facility.
So if they're from our town,
yes, exactly.
You'll get them to a safe place for a while and then hopefully send them
to because here's the thing. You can't just say, in Getty, I got a girl here. They have to go through some testing. We have to make sure they're sober. We have to make sure they're ready to get into a program. We just don't shoot them in because we have to hold them for a while to be able to get them in.
Good so question. Somebody from Mangetti, they've got somebody they verified.
Right.
They send them to you.
Mm-hmm.
They come over here. And
yeah.
And what happens then?
Then we put, they would come on our program. And our program is some things that I talked about. But the key thing is people got to be ready to go in a program. And a lot of times when I go out and rescue someone or bring them in, they'll come in for a while, but they're not ready to make that commitment to do it. But you can see by them giving us, saying, we have 60 girls over here, there's people that are wanting to come in.
Wow. You know, as I was listening, Randy, it sounds a lot like you're doing the Union Gospel Mission with women. Trafficked women, basically?
Basically in a nutshell, but I want to tell you something that helps with recovery. I love the mission program, but I also know there's chinks in everything. And the one thing I love that these girls have to do at the end of their program, they have to come and give back like the little sister. They don't just go through the program and graduate. They have to come back and share with the other girls where they came from, just like CJ is doing, and that's what she loves to do because that's so important in your recovery or in your testimony is to go back where you came from because you have such a testimony of healing and health.
Now, I like what you said, Revelation 12, I think, about the word of their testimony,
mm-hmm.
overcoming the enemy. That's
yeah.
a great, great word.
Yeah.
Tell us quickly, where is the thrift store and the cafe if somebody wanted to go there?
Okay, I can tell you. The only thing I can't tell you is where the safe house is, or it wouldn't be a safe house. But one of the pictures where we have a restoration at, I can share that with you, and that's in Rockford. If any of you need to know where that is, it's right across from the grain elevators. Because we do like people sometimes to call us. We'd like to show them what they're doing, and that's like their school. They have their safe house where they stay, and the restoration is where they come and do school with counselors, with people, learning center, those types of things. Now, CJ started this boutique, and we are just moving right now. As I speak, we're getting ready to come in the first of the month. We purchased a bigger place, and the warehouse is all in the same spot. So if you were to go down Sprague between Evergreen and Adams, and it's about halfway between there, and there's a big, huge U-Haul, and right on the other side is where we're at. We're right next to it.
Not right next to the U-Haul.
Yes.
On Sprague. Okay.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to donate, do you take donations?
Take donations.
Okay.
But it'd be a good thing to call before you go in. Make sure somebody's there. They're usually there, but we want to make sure they're there to greet you when they come.
Okay.
Okay.
Good, good. Do you have information if somebody
wanted
to?
I do out there on the foyer.
Excellent, excellent. We're getting toward the end of our time here, and this is what we've done for our Advent offering, is we want you to be generous in addition to what you normally give to church, and we want you to dig deep, and some of you I know can dig deep, and write a check to the Chatterley Community Church, and in the memo line put HRC, and then we will collect those and give one check to HRC. So as you this Advent season, you have an opportunity to be generous with what God has given you to help this situation. So write a check, and we'll be doing this now through the end of the year. And you can write a check today and hand it to us, and we'll make sure Melissa gets it, and she'll put that aside. So dig deep, people, and give to this need. I think they're doing an excellent work, and we want to support them. And I know some of you can, so please do. Have anything else?
No, I'm good to go.
All right, Randy, thank you so
much. Okay, thanks.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Kurt, where's Kurt? Come on up, Kurt, and ushers, come on up. We're going to conclude with a remembrance of the Lord's Supper.
Testimony. But I'll add one more thing. Testimony is good for sharing with others, but we also need a statement of faith, something that we can hold on to. Because when we go into darker places, when we go into times of sadness or sorrow or whatever, to be able to have a statement of faith, something that says, I know, I remember this from the Bible, that God told me how much he loves me, that we understand our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord and Savior. So as I was preparing for this communion, and I can't prepare for communion. Actually, I can't prepare for sermons or anything. What I do is I ask God, can you give me a word or something that you want me to share? Today, it was, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As we enter this, well, I guess it's now second Sunday in Advent, as we prepare for this Christmas season, we are thinking about Jesus, the baby, as he was born. But his purpose was to come and give us life. And when John the Baptist talked, was teaching and baptizing people in the river in the book of John, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in that one statement, in that one phrase, there are so many different things that are important to know about our faith. Behold, look, which is a description of Jesus Christ incarnate, that God became man and was there with us, that we could say, point to him, behold, that is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Yes, it's the description of Jesus Christ. But it reminds us of what was given to Abraham when he was ready to sacrifice his son. And his son Isaac says, where's the lamb that we're going to sacrifice? And he said, Abraham said, God will provide it. And in that time, in preparation for killing his son, God says, no, this is not how I do things. And there was a ram, and he heard the noise of the ram, and the ram was stuck. And so God provided a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was done. Lamb of God. The Lamb of God was provided by God as a free gift for us. Very important to know that. But the Lamb of God is also representing the sacrifice that is necessary for us to be redeemed to God. Now, redemption is not something that we in this culture think much about, but we were redeemed. We were paid for by Jesus' blood. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus was sacrificed, when he gave himself to be sacrificed, it was the shedding of that blood that was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. But historically, in that culture, sacrifices were for the individual or for that group of people. That's not what John said. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, which ushers in this New Testament idea of there's a new covenant, a new promise, a new understanding that the old things have gone away and that now we have an opportunity to come to God through Jesus Christ, his Son, because of the blood the Lamb. We here at Chatteroy practice a open communion, which means you don't have to be a member of this church to partake. So all of you who put your faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, are welcome to join us. And a little bit about the difference, nuance of Chatteroy Community Church. You will have two stacked cups, and in the bottom cup is the bread, in the top cup is the juice. And if you just kind of unscrew it a little bit, it'll be a lot easier than and soaking your neighbor. Until all are served, and then we will partake together.